Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Journey Home Outreach Ministries Bible Study. The message of the Bible Experience. This is Lesson 6. I am Elder Frey, your teacher for the message of the Bible Experience. In this week's lesson, we want to continue to build our faith by listening to some of the men of faith from the Old Testament. Men who believe God beyond anything else. We need to build our faith because Christ is getting ready to go to the cross. Things are going to get harder to accept and to understand. We're going to have to be anchored in our belief in God and in our Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is going to assure us of our salvation before we leave this earth, and we must be able to hear and understand. In our last Bible study, we saw the faith of Abraham. I found that the last week's lesson was cut short because I couldn't conclude the message of Abraham. So let's conclude the faith of Abraham real quick. We learned from Abraham what it means to really believe God. The person who believes God is going to submit his will completely to God's command. He may not see any sense in it, but he's willing to obey God anyhow. His attitude is, "Speak, Lord. That servant here." Abraham not only believed in God, but believed that God can and will fulfill his promises. He knows that God is true to his word, and that he must meet the conditions of which the promises are stipulated. So I ask you today, do you believe God? If so, you will be willing to, unhesitantly, to obey God's command as revealed in Christ. You can then, without doubt, expect God to keep his word. So that concludes the faith of Abraham. Abraham believed God, and faith, coupled with obedience, was counted to him as righteousness. Now let's take a look at the faith of Moses, another Old Testament prophet who believed in God. Our lesson is going to be taken from Hebrews 11th chapter. And it's going to be from the 23rd to 28th verse. Our key verse is going to be in Hebrews 11, chapter the 25th and 25th verse. So we are going to pray from these scriptures at times, from time to time, just to enhance these key scriptures. In this lesson, we will study the faith of Moses. Moses is known as the author of the first five books of the Bible. His life impacted so many people. He led Israel's people out of slavery into the new land. He received the Ten Commandments, which influenced all people of the world, even today. It's interesting the way Moses exercised his faith. There are five instances of faith in connection with Moses, such as his decision, his choices, his values, the Exodus, and the Passover. In James, the second chapter, the 26th verse tells us that actions speak louder than words. Because faith without obedience, that means faith without taking actions to do what God commands, is just dead faith. It's important to show our faith, to show our act of faith to please God, just like Moses did. Because Hebrews 11, chapter 6, verse 10, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Let's take a look at where the faith of Moses started. It started with the faith of Moses' parents. Look at Hebrews 11, chapter 23, verse. It says, by faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw he was no ordinary child. They were not afraid of Pharaoh's law. Moses seemed to be born at the wrong place, the wrong time, and the wrong gender. At that time, the baby girls were saved. He faced death as soon as he was born. That sounds familiar. Just like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ faced death as soon as he was born. In Exodus, the first chapter, the 8th to 22nd verse, tells us the background of Moses' birth. Moses was born when the Egyptian Empire was in a political transition. I know you heard the story of Joseph, how he was so favored when he was sold into to Egyptian slavery by his brothers, he found favor with the Pharaoh. But that particular Pharaoh had died, and a new king began to persecute the Israelites because he felt they would be a threat to his national security. Pharaoh oppressed the Israelites by forced labor so that their numbers might not increase anymore. Look what happened. His policy backfired because God was with them. The more the people of Israel were oppressed, the more they multiplied and spread. Finally, Pharaoh, king of Egypt, issued a law that every baby boy born to the Hebrew prince had to be cast into the river and drowned. If all the boys died, there would be no men, and then no nation. Girls would be used as labor forces. Moses was born into a family of Hebrew slaves in Egypt. In short, he was born in a situation for all the Jews to prevent things from happening, especially bad things, or to believe that there was nothing you could do. What a terrible state to be in. Nothing you could do. But to believe that there was nothing we could do, sometimes we might find ourselves in this hopeless state. We have to remember what God did for Abraham, for Moses. God turned this tragic situation into an opportunity to raise up one of the greatest leaders of all time in our human history. It's unthinkable to talk about Moses without the faith of his parents. Moses' life began. The faith of his parents because he was too young to know what was going on. Look at Hebrews 11, chapter 23, verse. Again, by faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months because they saw that he was no ordinary child. They hid the baby Moses by faith, not fearing Pharaoh's law. As soon as Moses' parents saw the baby Moses, they believed that God had something special planned for him. When they saw the child with the eyes of faith, but to see there was something special about him, and they were convinced that God was with him. Moses' parents did not know that God intended to raise Moses as the deliverer of 600,000 Israelites after 430 years of Egyptian slavery. But they believed that God was with the baby. They were people of faith. Baby Moses was saved because of his parents' faith. It seemed to be a small matter in human eyes, but it was a turning point in the history of God. Through this small event, God began to raise up a leader, the Exodus. It was the beginning of a new history for the people of God. At that time, Pharaoh's law was a matter of life and death. People were afraid of the king. Moses' parents were different. They were not afraid of the king's laws because Moses' parents feared God. They did not fear anybody, even the king. By faith, they hid the baby for 3 months, trusting God rather than fearing Pharaoh. When the baby Moses began to cry aloud after 3 months, the parents placed him in a basket and he drifted out into the Nile River. Moses' parents hid him as long as they could. Then they entrusted the baby Moses into God's hands. They did their part, and it was God's turn after that. Dramatically, God intervened in Moses' life. Moses was in the right time, in the right place, and the right person by God's sovereign will. What perfect time. Pharaoh's daughter went down to Nile's river to bathe. She saw the basket among the reeds. When she opened it, she saw the baby. For her being and adopting him as her son because she had no child. She gave him to a Hebrew nurse who was Moses' real mother. Pharaoh's daughter named him Moses again. I drew him out of the water. So Moses' parents believed in God Almighty. God was with them and with their child. Today we live in the age of no commitment. The relationship between parents and children is minimized. Many parents do not make a long-term commitment for their children. And see that children as an economic burden or troublemaker or even sometimes even a threat. But the parents face exclusion can still face to the child's goals. Parents' faith play an important role for children's faith. We have to see our children with the eyes of faith and believe that God is with them and they will become the next generation of leaders. We have to protect them from the evil influences of the world. We need to nurture them spiritually until they grow up in faith and can handle need. Then we can entrust them into the hands of God as they grow up. We do our part, and God will do his part to take care of them. Mighty hand. Moses has grown up now. Take a look at the faith of Moses. In Hebrews 11, chapters 24, 26, verse. Pay attention to the faith of Moses. We see five instances of Moses' act of faith. In this passage, in each case, he acted by faith. In God's providence, with divine guidance and care, he was made the prince of Egypt. He was the enemy of all the Egyptian people. People were seeking his favor. People bowed down to him when they heard a shout of his bodyguard, "Bow down, bow down." This Moses is passed. Moses was 40 years old and was mature enough to make decisions about future life direction. In the first instance, we look at Hebrews 11, chapter, verse 24 and 25. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God, rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin in a short time. What was the basis of this decision? By faith. As we know, Moses has a double identity. He was an Egyptian prince and a Hebrew man. He had to make a choice. What could he be? Moses had grown up. It grieved him to see people being mistreated, On one occasion, he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew. He came to the Hebrew's defense and killed the Egyptian. Pharaoh found out and sought Moses' life, fled Egypt, and spent the next 40 years in a place called Midian, back down from desert. If Moses had remained in the palace, he might have been a possible successor to the Egyptian emperor because he was a favorite of the emperor. But by faith, he refused to be known as the son of the Pharaoh's daughter. Moses knew that he would lose his position as the prince of Egypt by faction. Moses had made a choice to separate himself from the Egyptian way. He understood that the life of Egypt was not what God wanted of him. Moses lived in Egypt 40 years, and yet he knew that it was not home. The power, the prestige, and the glory of the Egypt were upon him, but by faith, gave up his glorious prince position. He gave it all up. Mistreatment followed after he made the decision to identify as God's people. His decision was very costly because it invited immediate oppression. It is our human nature to avoid suffering as much as possible and to enjoy an easygoing life. Moses made a clear choice to obey God by accepting his mission to be mistreated along with the people of God. Gathered by God's people who were grown and under the yoke of Egyptians, of Egypt rather than seeking his own personal pleasure and the glory of the world. Moses chose to be treated along with his people. He abandoned pleasures and chose suffering. Humanly speaking, it's a hard choice, but Moses chose to suffer with the people instead of being the prince of Egypt because he loved God. Like Moses, by faith, he must refuse to be associated with the pleasures of this world. The world is not our home. In 1 Peter, the second chapter, 11 verse, You could say, dearly beloved, I beseech you, may I urge you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from flesh and lust, to the Lord and his soul. When we decide to follow Christ, we are on our journey home to be with our Heavenly Father. Heaven is our home. When we decide to follow Christ, when we decide to follow God's will, we will be defeated by the will. That's moving. The pleasures of this world are temporarily, and it cannot be compared to the eternal relationship we have with God. Therefore, we must refuse to follow the pleasures of sin. Rather, we should remember how God called us out of our bondage and separate ourselves from the sinful life to follow the will of God. When we read about Moses in the Bible, we learn that he made the right choices because of his choices. He was used by God, and he became to be the flesh of blessing to all the spiritual descendants. God did not call us to have better lives here, but call us to become Bible teachers and disciple makers for Jesus Christ. If I look at Hebrews 11, chapter verse 26, he regarded this grace for the sake of Christ as a greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward, not for his reward. That's where you and I are trying to get. Looking ahead to our reward for serving Christ, not for our reward. We must know what the reward is for following Christ and look ahead to it. Moses made a decision of faith. He lost all his privilege of being a prince and was treated like a hermit. Everybody wants to be praised and honored. No one wants to be mistreated, but Moses chose to be mistreated. What did he do? Why did he do so? It was because Moses valued the life of faith more than the pleasures of sin. In short, Moses had a value system, valued life of faith, which is separating people rather than enjoying the fleeting pleasures of sin and the Egyptian presidents, Egyptian princes. Serving the people of God has an eternal value, while enjoying the pleasures of sin is just momentarily. Moses had another reason for choosing to suffer with the people. Like Hebrews 11, chapter and verse 26 again. Another instance, he regarded his grace for the sake of Christ of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. When Moses suffered, he suffered with Christ. In the same way, we must receive his grace for the sake of Christ. When we face all kinds of mistreatment simply because we love Christ. Today's Christians are treated like screamers, strangers, because they follow Jesus. True Christians are becoming a minority, even in America. I said true Christians. Christians who will stand up and say, I am a follower of Christ. I believe that Christ is my Lord and Savior. Jesus Christ become our eternal high priest, priest who went into heaven to offer his blood once and for all. Now sit down on the right hand of God and glory. No, the last great prophet, and we studied this in another session, the last great prophet is now also our eternal high priest. He is worthy to be loved and have our devotion. Hebrews 11, chapter 6, verse 5, he reward those who earnestly seek him. Moses sought God's reward for this because of sacred treasures of Egypt. He was sure of God's reward. Moses was looking forward to a city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. In Hebrews 11, chapter 10, verse, Moses was looking forward to his reward and in Jesus' kingdom. God rewarded Moses because he acted by faith. Remember in Mark, the ninth chapter, in the fourth verse, when he appeared with Elijah at the Mount of Transfiguration, and in his glory, if you receive his glory, it's okay if you don't remember. We're going there. Jesus, we go through the fear of Jesus being raised from the dead. So, but he was rewarded. The disciples saw this at the Mount of Transfiguration. Oh, you know, Moses and all the stories. These days, there are many people who have no true sense of reward. Some people say, I don't need reward. I just want to live. I just want to praise God. But in reality, all people look forward to receiving their reward. When they go to work and sacrifice their time, expect to be rewarded with a paycheck. And sometimes when you use that paycheck and you go back to school, you spend your time and money, you are expecting a reward of a diploma or a degree. Same in the spiritual world. The same is true. We are not seeking temporary reward the world gives, but seeking God's eternal reward to be kept in heaven by all who live by faith. The Apostle Paul values Jesus more than anything in the world. He suffered for Christ to know the power of his resurrection. He said in Philippians, the 3rd chapter, the 8th verse, what is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I might gain Christ. Paul gave up everything for the sake of Christ because he found great value in just knowing Jesus. What do you value most in life? What did you give up for the sake of Christ? Let's have Jesus rather than the wealth and the fame the world offers. When we live for Jesus, we'll be happy and satisfied. Even if we have little or nothing, we will have the peace that passes all understanding. And everything will be okay. In Matthew 16, chapter 26, verse 6, what good would it be for a man if he gained the whole world and loses his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? It's true, the world looks good, but it cannot save our soul. Only Jesus saves us from power, sin, and death. We must forfeit the things of the world and put our faith in God. Let's look at some of other Moses. By faith, give up his gift. Not being in the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. That's a heavy statement. Not being in the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. And immediately Moses became a fugitive to the mighty Pharaoh. Suddenly Moses' position was changed from the mighty prince of Egypt to the hunted man. The king's anger was burning against Moses because of his choice. But to Moses, his choice was clear. He made up his mind to live for God. Then God gave him spiritual eyes to see that God is almighty. God gave him spiritual eyes to see. I have asked you in other lessons to pray to God to open your spiritual eyes that you may see. Open your spiritual ears that you may hear. But he decided to follow the King of Heaven, not the King of the world. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. This tells us more clearly the reason why he was not afraid of the king's anger, and he persevered through all the hardships. It was of Moses to see God is invisible. Invisible with his eyes of faith. It is unimaginable how much he persevered in the wilderness. Spent the next 40 years in the wilderness to receive humble training of God. He was tending sheep day in and day out. He repeated the same thing over and over. Through the wilderness training, God builds his character to become a humble and compassionate shepherd. Moses maintained close relationship with God. but we was out there backsaddle camping. He had a quiet time with the Lord, away from the loud noise of the world. This close walk with God sustained Moses through all the difficult days. How can we persevere in adverse human situations? We have to seek God who is invisible. He is invisible. I know that's a hard statement to comprehend right now, but we have to seek God who is invisible through the eyes of faith. Memorizing the Word of God enables us to see God with the eyes of faith, moment by moment. God is active in our daily life. He is present everywhere. We go and we can overcome all kinds of hardships in life because He is with us. By faith, He kept the Passover, sprinkling the blood, so that the straw of the firstborn would not be touched. Our example of faith in connecting with Moses concerning the Passover. Have you noticed the Bible doesn't tell the whole story of the Exodus, but only the climax of the story? During the 430 years the Israelites were in Egypt, their numbers increased. They had to live in slavery. God sent slave servant Moses to Pharaoh to liberate it. The mission God gave Moses demanded absolute obedience. By faith, Moses obeyed God's command to deliver his people from the hands of Pharaoh. By faith, Moses went and boldly challenged King Pharaoh to liberate his people. Moses demanded this in Exodus, the 10th chapter and the 3rd verse. When it said, "Let my people go so they may worship God," Moses repeated the same demand 9 times. But Pharaoh became all the more stubborn. He became resistant in spite of the infliction of 9 devastating plagues. In Exodus 5, the 5th chapter, 2nd verse, Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey him, his voice, and let Israel go? I knew not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go." Finally, God commanded Moses to tell Pharaoh about the plague of death, which would take the lives of all the firstborn of Egypt, of both man and beast. To Moses, it was impossible to command to obey, but Moses obeyed the word of God. By faith, Moses boldly challenged Pharaoh to let his people go, otherwise all the firstborn of Egypt would die. Moses commanded the Israelites to sprinkle the blood of lamb over the doorposts of their houses to prevent death from the straw. And it was interesting. There was nothing in the previous prayers of either Moses or the Israelites to justify this action. How could he be sure that the firstborn of the Israelites would not be destroyed when the angel of death struck the region? He would pass over the houses sprinkled with the blood. It's a foreshadowing of someone to come. Remember later? Jesus sprinkled his own blood on the Lamb of God. Through the blood of Jesus, we will be saved. Moses prayed through right. The destroyer of the first one passed over him. There were loud will and complaining among the Egyptians, including the Pharaoh's first son, but there were no deaths among the Israelites. Moses' act of faith was vindicated by this miracle. God used Moses' faith to institute the Passover feast from this very event. In conclusion, we live in an age of no commitment. Instead of just the act to make decisions of faith, these days there are so many people who have no power to make any decision. They call a family, they call a friends, but they just cannot make a decision. They don't have that connection with God, that wisdom that God gives them. That's what we need to seek after. And so many people who commit to no one. In this passage, we learn that Moses is great because he made a choice before God. He is great because he committed himself to God. He is great because he obeyed the word of God at the cost of his life. May God bless us to follow the examples of faith. I pray that we may raise up many young Moses to value God more than the pleasures of this world. So, may the Lord bless and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you. And may the Lord give you peace.